This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Welcome to Province Sports Radio. It's Tuesday, August 25th. Somehow summer's almost over. I'm Patrick Johnson. It's a casual Tuesday. Steve Ewan is on the line. Hi, Steve.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. Not standing beside a golf course today. You are not.
No, I am not standing beside a golf course. I am recovering.
Recovering from your weekend with Ed? Is that how you can call it?
No, I had some bad hot dogs or some bad salad or some bad something the last couple of days, so I'm a little bit under the weather. But it's playoff time. You got to play hurt.
It's true.
It's always playoff time on Casual Tuesday.
So you and Ed were out doing the golf this weekend.
Ed Wolf.
Yes. First of all, you know, how did you approach covering golf? Not something you do very often.
I just tried to read up as much as I could and tried to, you know, tell stories about who these people were and tried to, figure out some of the connections and stuff. And yeah, it was kind of a neat event for something I hadn't done in quite a few years. So it was, the people were very receptive and accommodating, and it was a lot of fun. It's great to see women athletes get a lot of play in the media too. So that's something I've always been a big believer in.
Something that Ed hit on, and I saw a couple other people actually around the same time, looking at Brooke Henderson, who of course has had sort of a breakout couple of weeks here finally on the LPGA, and people sort of comparing her, I guess, with Jeannie Bouchard, who of course had her big breakout season last year and then has had an incredible slump this year.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a nice way of putting it.
Right? they're young athletes, bottom line.
She hasn't been the same since the whole Justin Bieber comment.
Oh, geez. Good point.
There you go.
You want to get into that?
No, well, I'll get into anything. It's Casual Tuesday.
What I was thinking, though, is people were kind of commenting about the question of Henderson in the limelight, or not in the limelight, in the spotlight, that, perhaps some of Bouchard's challenge has been dealing with everybody wanting to talk to you all the time. With Henderson, did you have any sense of what, sort of her personality is like? I know you talked to her a lot, but in terms of dealing with what's sure to be more and more exposure now that she's sort of the new darling of the Canadian golf world?
So hard. I'm in that short period of time, it's really hard to get a real accurate read on somebody. But I thought it was neat that the older sister, Brittany, was there. And as a golfer, and they traveled together, and she was caddying for the last 2 days. So I think that's maybe something Bouchard hasn't had that kind of close confidant. So that could be key. It's so hard to tell. I mean, 17 is awfully young to be, have Ed Willis and Cam Cole and all those guys, asking you questions and, hanging off your every word. So I thought she handled it very well for one weekend, but I mean, it was only the one weekend. I don't think anybody would have thought Eugenie Bouchard would be where she is now a year ago either. So,
is there a way to compare this at the same time though? As you mentioned, she's 17. Is there a way to compare this to, say, junior hockey players who you talk to fairly often?
Junior hockey players don't end up on the lead story on TSN,
right? Unless they're outside
of Connor McDavid and right. Guys like that. So I was, her family was there. Her parents were very close anytime you saw her. So you get the feeling that they've got a plan and they've got this mapped out. It's a challenge. It's to have people chanting your name when you walk up to the tee box has got to be, a little strange, and then they kind of go back to real life after. I don't know how I would handle it. I'm a couple of years past 17.
What about Lydia Ko, who's just 1 year past 17? How did she seem to be handling it? I mean, she's been in the spotlight for a while now.
Yeah, she was a kid, if you go back and do the reading, that she was getting press when she was 6 and 7 and things like that. So she seemed to handle it well. She didn't seem to you know, even though her kind of her fourth round came apart a little bit, she seems very methodical and very regimented. So she's been doing this before. She's already one of the elite golfers in the world. So again, the family was around. It was kind of interesting to see the approach of me, you know, especially being a guy that covers a lot of team sports normally.
Speaking of team sports, there's a bunch of other team sports that I wanted to discuss. I thought we'd start off with looking at some.
I didn't see Eddie Lack at the golf.
Amazingly.
I expected to see Eddie Lack at the golf, and that this is our weekly Eddie Lack update.
Well, the best part about it is that you just handed me a segue without even realizing it. That's the best part.
Oh, there you go.
Ex-Canucks. Could have been again Canucks. Christian Ehrhoff signing with the Kings yesterday for $1.5 million. Is this a player that Canucks should have gone after?
I don't think so. I think they're trying to get Corrado and guys like that some ice time. I think he just kind of takes away from their growth. And I mean, you're paying Spieth a lot of money. He has to play and has to play well. I don't think I would have done that. He doesn't fit with the way you're trending, kind of, in my opinion.
Even though he's got puck skills and whatever. I mean, what is it about this guy? Because he has, you know, a pretty good track record. He's made a bunch of money. He could go wherever he wanted, but he sat out there, much like someone else named Cody Franzen, who we'll talk about in a second. He sat out there. What was there something you think about Ehrhoff that sort of had teams shying away from him? It seems so surprising that he lasted this long.
I don't know. I don't know what the. I don't know why he's bounced around, you know, kind of as much as he has, and his skill set is very enticing, but he doesn't seem to stay anywhere. And doesn't. I mean, had a chance to do some things last year, and it just never really happened for him. So I don't know if people see him being at the, kind of the end of his career or not. I don't really know. I don't think it was a move. If you want Corrado to play and you want him to get better, you can't block him with, you know, bringing in kind of a stopgap guy.
It really is about that, isn't it? I mean, that was partly why they moved Adam Clendenning in the end, was that there seemed to be sort of an estimation that Corrado was further ahead than Clendenning was. And
yeah, completely. To me, they're very similar guys. I mean, Clendenning might be a little bit fancier offensively, a little bit higher kind of skill level, and Corrado's got a better all-around game. So, but Corrado's got to play, and I think you can't keep him from playing.
excuse me. The other thought I had was just looking
at
Cody Franzen. Thank you. It's Cody Franzen. I mean, I know that you know him reasonably well. Have you had any further updates from him? He's still sitting out there.
I haven't talked to him in a while. The Giants have their annual alumni golf tournament today, or I guess their season opening golf tournament. And I assume he will be there. So I was looking to catch up with him there, but. Again, offensive guy, you would think on a good team would be a good four or five, right? Kind of a second unit power play quarterback guy. I don't know if he's misread the market and was asking too much. I don't know if he's a legit top four guy on a good team. I don't know if that's true, but you think he'd be a good piece on a team, kind of looking, you know, thinking that it's got a run and it needs, needs a three or a four or a five or you know, maybe a six, right? I think he can definitely fill kind of one of those roles.
If you're Cody Franzen, at some point, do you just say, let's go to Russia and play in the KHL and take the money? If that's out there?
I don't know what his thinking is. I think they thought they were close with Toronto from everything I've heard and read, and that just never seemed to happen. I heard stories through different people that they were talking a lot with Boston, you know, particularly after Dougie Hamilton left. So I don't know where that sits with him. I don't know if serviceable is the right word. I mean, he's a useful guy. I mean, he can pass the puck. He can shoot the puck. He's not as physical as you would think a guy that big would be, but he's still a guy that can get out and kind of run the point and do some things with one of your power play units.
I mean, with Ehrhoff, I don't agree with it, but I understand, you know, there's sort of that perception, small guy, you know, doesn't play, you know, tough minutes, whatever. But I'm sort of, you know, I'm of the opinion, okay, well, does he have the puck the whole time? Probably. Franz and, you know, similar player, maybe bigger, maybe has obviously less of a sort of backstory to him just because he is a bit younger. But I look at both these players and I just wonder if they suffer a little bit still from sort of, you know, old-time hockey perceptions as much as anything. They're saying, I want you to be big and I want you to be tough, and that's all I kind of know. I just find it strange that guys like this who have some pretty good puck skills are just sitting out there not able to fit in anywhere. That if you wanted to make a player like this part of your team, you would make it work. I mean, I guess the Kings kind of did by the end by saying, listen, Christian, this is what we can give you. You want to come play on a pretty good team with a team that needs a defenseman. I guess from that standpoint made sense, but I just find it funny that guys like this are sort of seemingly undervalued or not even valued at all.
Could be a salary cap era kind of thing.
Yeah,
where you're thinking that, you know, everybody's waiting and trying to see how low Cody Franson will go, and now I guess 1.5 is kind of the benchmark now. Where I think there was talk of him maybe getting 3 or 4, right? If you can sneak Cody Franson in for 1.5 per year, and you're a team that thinks you got a shot, it seems to make a lot of sense.
And yet, you know, you look at, I mean, you've already brought up Spezza, and we can go backwards and forwards on the guy. I mean, they're different players. Yeah. I guess if I were
Luka's way more physical.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess what, you know, if I were paying that money, and you're paying for, you know, a 5'6" guy, which we know Spezza is.
Yeah, but part of the problem with Luka is that he's paid on the rate of a first round pick.
Right.
Right. Which is still kind of where he's slotted. Right. He's never taken a major cut. He is as nice a guy as there is, and you really hope it works out for him. It was an interesting signing, yeah. I mean, it was an interesting signing, but it was more of a comment about Corrado and the guys on the farm than it was about Luka.
Yeah, no, I mean, I got that part. It was interesting to me. I mean, I wonder if, and maybe it's not even a fair question, but I do wonder if, you know, if they dial it back, or they were able to dial ahead 2 months and realize that there were two different players out there that with the talents like those two guys. Mm-hmm. Sitting out there, whether they in the end rush to sign Spezza like they seem to.
Oh, I think they did, but the kind of the blue line is there.
Yeah.
After him, I think that's a big part of it. I think if they had other parts coming, I think Spezza's contract would be a lot different.
Right.
But a good guy. He's, I mean, he played in the NHL at 18. So, you know, big, strong, physical, moves his feet. Hope it works for him. I can see why people were frustrated with him because he seemed to kind of lose his mind at times, you know, in his own zone. He made some kind of goofy plays with the puck. But, he's got a chance. And again, with where this franchise is now, he was a guy that they had to bring back, that was the dollar figure.
I guess the other thing you look at it is you wonder who his partner is going to be, because definitely playing with Kevin Bieksa. I mean, Bieksa really hit the wall last season, and I don't think they were a terribly good pairing. If you put him with a different player, you know, a guy who can maybe range up the ice a little bit more, you know, maybe it works out better.
It's going to be – they've got some challenges as far as, you know, figuring out that kind of back end of – who plays with who. So, it's a really, really interesting year, between the goaltending and the defense and where does Horvat go? Does Jake make the team? It's a real intriguing year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the defense. You've got Edler, Hamhuis, Tanev, Spezza, Bartkowski, Weber, Corrado. I mean, the way things are lining up, it looks like you've, I mean, I don't even know how things are going to line up, but you kind of got to think, you know, is...
I don't think anyone's saying Robinson, Lapointe, Savard.
No, that's for sure. Right? But I mean, you know, Edler, Tanev was a pretty good pair last year. Hamhuis mm-hmm. is going to go with somebody. I mean, Hamhuis played a lot with Weber last year. You think maybe Corrado could go there. You know, does that leave you maybe with Spezza, Bartkowski? You know, that's a different look on it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be... you wonder if they're done. You wonder where things are at. It's not... they're going to have to bring along some of the young guys in the back and see if they can play.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Definitely, that's for sure. Let's move along. I had wanted to bring up a little Whitecaps chatter for you. First of all, did you see mm-hmm. Pamu Dukkha's amazing face mask?
I saw it in I think it's in the province today.
It is in the province today. Bob Frid, credit to Bob Frid, who does photos for everybody, but this in particular this case, it was for the Whitecaps. Mm-hmm. Got a fantastic
Bob Frid, good guy.
He's a regular at the Sunday barbecue, would you not say?
Oh yeah. Oh, he's got a lifetime pass.
He doesn't even have to take pictures. So anyway,
no, he can just come and hang out.
Well, so let me ask you this, Steve. If you were on the shelf as Pamu Dukkha is, and you wanted to get back in the lineup, and that was what you had to wear. Which, you know, is a bit of a Bill Laimbeer throwback.
Oh, nice reference.
Would you do this? Is this something you would put on? Because, I mean, that thing looks horrifying, hideous, painful, sweaty. I don't even mm-hmm. know where else to go.
I think as a veteran guy trying to say something to the rest of the group, I think it's important. I think that's why they brought this guy in, to bring some swagger and to bring some kind of give a damn, and I think he's shown that.
He's a Jim Benning kind of guy, is what you're telling me.
I don't know if he's a Jim Benning kind of guy, but I you know, Bobby Leonard Doozy,
yeah,
Carl Robinson kind of guy. I talking about intriguing. How excited is this city going to get if they go on a playoff run?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's kind of
Mark Weber and I have fought 1,000 times about how one day the Whitecaps may overtake the Canucks.
It's you know popularity. I mean, it's there's no denying.
Part of me thinks that's absolutely crazy, and part of me kind of goes, geez, right? Like if the Canucks have an average year this year and the Whitecaps go on a playoff run.
It's a different. I think they're still a long way from it. Yeah, the advantage the Whitecaps have, and you're really starting to see it over the lines. First of all, they're winning. That helps, and it was something I kind of noted.
Well, winning's the best marketing you get.
Yeah, and I was looking at it a little bit yesterday, a few different things. You know, MLS TV numbers still are not very good. There are some local strong places that do well locally. There's some evidence that at least in the U.S. their national product is growing a little bit, but it's still, you know, I mean, we're, you know,
pockets.
It's pockets, right? And which is the story with hockey in the U.S. as well, right? In Canada, you know, they do okay, but I mean, the Blue Jays are destroying everybody right now and for good reason. You know, the hype machine is in full force. CFL still has its strengths because of the fact that it's got so much tradition outside of the big cities. So Vancouver...
It's a brand, too, right?
Yeah.
Friday Night Football means something.
Yes.
TSN deserves 100% credit for that. TSN has built the CFL. TSN has built the World Junior Tournament.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and they've done a good job, and they've done it for a long time, and people know what it is, and it's, it's the TSN Cup and the TSN Football League. But I mean, they've done well.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's you know, times where you kind of listen and go, oh, geez, that's kind of over the top. But you know what? It's their product. It's their brand, and they've done wonders with it.
The interesting thing is that, of course, this is the modern era where everything is splintered and there's every option you want, you know, for the most part, unless you're, you know, being killed by overseas TV contracts like every rugby follower that yells at me, but why isn't this on TV? Well, it's called TV money in the UK, yeah, and we don't want to pay for it. So there you go. But, you know, with when it comes to football, we're paying for it. TSN, you know, has been a very good partner for the MLS. They show every Canadian – they show almost all – you know, they show all three Canadian teams. They show them a lot. They show a lot of the Sunday MLS games. They didn't this week because they were apparently overpacked with other stuff. But, you know, it's a product that they're trying to say, okay, let's see what this is. But as you've said, you know, I mean, it's still – it's a niche market. It's a niche sport. But in Vancouver – it's an interesting one because you start looking at the Lions have. I mean, somebody was telling me the other day that, you know, there's been some work done at the Lions in terms of trying to figure out how many fans do they have, and if you want to cap it at 150,000 people, you know, between 15,000 season ticket holders, about 50,000 people who go once a year, and then, you know, another 100,000 people who go, you know, once in a while, and will maybe go if they're winning, you know, and that's your limit. Well, you know, the Whitecaps have just as many season ticket holders. Their key now is building people out from that. And it's been an interesting summer in the number of people that have said, wow, I've been to my first Whitecaps game and what fun. And I think a lot of it is down to the fan experience. And that will be the biggest challenge the Canucks have because, you know, the Canucks have a particular product which does appeal to a lot of people and they've been doing it for a long time. But you do also note how many people now go to a Canucks game and say, man, this building, it's not just that it's quiet, it's stale. You know, there's just nothing in it. People want
Game 55 looks a lot like Game 55.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and
where every soccer game is its own little entity.
Yeah, yeah. I think
if you want to take that another step, the baseball team's done that.
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, it'd be interesting. You know, you were around when it was a AAA team, and it was a different era then too, and it was a different city. But, you know, I do think at a certain level, the single-A team does benefit from the fact that it's a short schedule. There's only so many games to go.
Oh, completely.
Right?
And it's a short schedule in generally nice weather.
Right. I mean...
Because baseball's not a lot of fun to watch when it's cold.
Well, I mean,
let's be honest.
Yeah, and I mean, in the AAA days, they wouldn't come home for 2 weeks because it was just raining all of April. And then, you know, I remember, I mean, I wouldn't go to a lot of games early in the season, but you'd go to a game in May and there were like 2,000 people there at best, you know, like it was a small, I mean, it was a different market. It was a different brand and all that, but.
Well, and they didn't have Andy Dunn, you know, who's marketed the everything out of it.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty amazing experience to think that in this big league town that a short season single A team does as well as it does attendance wise.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. It really is.
I think they had their 17th sellout last night.
Yeah, and it was great fun. I mean, they lost, but it was great fun as always. Mm-hmm. You know, it was. I mean, by the way, I tweeted it. Boise Hawks. I mean, now that I've seen them up close, are the worst baseball uniforms I've ever seen.
They're definitely up there.
You know, I mean,
they're definitely in the conversation at the very least.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff from the 70s there if we really want to talk about it. But, or, you know, but holy smokes. Like, there's just so many things.
They are up there, and I'm a San Diego Padre fan.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, fair enough. The last thing I wanted to mention before we get to Sunday Barbecue is another quick bit on soccer. Didier Drogba, of course, the big new exciting signing for the Impact, is not going to play on Wednesday. He's hurt his toe, he says.
Yes.
Suspicion is more like he doesn't want to play on turf. But that's not the question I have.
He doesn't want to get on the plane and come out to Vancouver.
Yeah, I think. But the real question I wanted to ask about was the media.
Didn't I read in one of your blogs yesterday that he's got his own media
team? He has his own media team. And the Impact media guys have to deal with them. So Didier is not talking.
To get an interview with him, you need to go to the Impact media guys.
And he's not talking to anybody. Yeah. And I mean, this isn't the first time we've heard of a player coming over from Europe and being in the, you know, an MLS room, which is, you know, like most North American rooms, pretty wide open. Everybody comes in, which is not how it's done in Europe.
No.
And he's freaked out a little bit.
If you read soccer reports out of Europe, there's very rarely quotes from players.
Because it's just, and at a certain level, I kind of appreciate that. It's like, write what you saw and tell us what you think, because it's sports.
I think that is something, as a whole, I think we're trying to take on, right?
Yeah.
Because so much of the post-game quotes are generic.
Yeah. Well,
right? which is a whole other podcast on sports reporting, but anyway.
Well, we can talk about that another day, but actually, I think that's a great topic. Let's talk about it next week. We'll talk about it next week.
I think I really think that's one of the things. So much comes out sounding exactly the same, right? And again, talking about Game 55 looking a lot like Game 56, Game 55 can sound a lot like Game 56.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been a lesson for us, and that's why, you know, we've tried to repackage how we present stuff and in the paper and online. And, you know, you look at how botches, you know, the provies work, and you look how Kuzma's post-game quarters work, because Kuzma actually, because we don't do it for the gamer, he actually has time to go down and talk to players and ask them specific questions, you know?
You get a chance to get guys after, like when the scrum moves.
Yes,
you can stay and wait.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
and you can get Brad Richardson on his own and ask him something. And guys are way more likely to come up with an insightful answer when they're standing there just talking to the Kuz rather than they're standing there talking to 25 people.
Yeah, and so anyway, that's the thing I just found interesting was about, you know, Drogba basically hasn't talked to anybody in the media yet, that he's just there to play soccer. And, you know, I mean, the Montreal media is in a bit of a tizzy about it, because they're like, we have this superstar, we want to talk to you. And he's just like, no, I don't want to do it. You know, if you were in their position, would you be as frustrated as they were?
Well, no, I don't think real people care what we think.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I remember I went and covered a Montreal Expo series in San Francisco. And got in a cab to go. It was Candlestick then, and I'm kind of showing my age now. But and talking to the cab driver, and he raved about how much he loved Barry Bonds.
Huh.
And I remember thinking that, you know, Barry Bonds, this guy, not a great guy.
Yeah.
But like, real people don't care. Real people, you know, when the Canucks were winning, people loved Ryan Kesler.
Yeah.
Right. As soon as things went south and they needed to point a finger at somebody, he became one of the guys, right? And like, Ryan Kesler isn't the most accommodating media guy ever, right? But real people don't it doesn't matter to them, right? It really doesn't. So I think our opinion on whether guys are talking or not talking really isn't relevant. That's just us being, you know, upset about our own lot in life.
So, Steve, who are you inviting to your Sunday barbecue?
Who am I inviting? You know who I'm going to invite? John Stewart.
Oh, I like how you did there. I had this on my list, but we ran out of time.
I was going to bring, you know, I was going to bring John Stewart because he's probably sore after getting a AA from John Cena for what he did. As retribution for him messing up John's, you know, John Cena's match on Sunday.
I think that's pretty good. So, people enjoy.
Can I just go off on a tangent here?
Yes.
I'm a on again off again wrestling guy. Really interested in the way women's wrestling is going right now, with like Ric Flair's kid and Sasha Banks and some of the women. The women are as interesting to me as maybe the time when that, you know, Lita and Trish Stratus were headlining Raw. I know that doesn't mean anything to you, but...
No, I'm aware of everybody you just mentioned.
Okay. Yeah, I just think women's wrestling is kind of the most interesting part of their show right now. That's just my little tangent there. We're going to have to get the Bollywood boys on the show one day.
That would be a good one. That would be a very, very good one. For the Sunday... I was kind of mulling this one over. I think what I'm going to do here is I'm going to actually do a group invitation. And I'm going to invite all the Canadian women, which I know was a large number, who competed on the weekend at the CP Women's Open. Because I would just like to learn more about women's professional golf and like what that's like and what it was like, what that course is like. Because the amazing thing is I now know where the Vancouver Golf Club is because I went to a wedding. My buddy Chris Laxton and his now wife Erica had their wedding at the Vancouver Golf Club way back in May.
Oh, nice. It's a great venue.
Yeah.
I did a story on Don McCusker. who was ALS, a champion for ALS, a guy, a former junior hockey player who's been struck down with ALS, who's a member there, and talked to him a couple Christmases ago there. So it's a great venue, and they did a great job, and they put on, they put on a great show. So yeah, and that would be it'd be neat to get a little time with Brooke Henderson and figure out what try and get a better read on what she's really like, and the Henderson family. So I think that's a nice mix with Jon Stewart talking about wrestling and where his career is going, and Brooke Henderson talking about where her career is going. So
it would be a hell of
a think that's not a bad party.
Well, yeah, and I wanted to give credit to like Alina Sharp, who was the leading Canadian going into the last day, see what's going on, find out what that was like. I mean, it was a challenging, sounded like it was a reasonably challenging course, and it was an interesting weekend. I certainly enjoyed following along with you guys.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, it was kind of neat to see how excited people got about Brooke Henderson.
Yeah,
right. Because I mean, she had the biggest following the whole time, and Ko was close, but I mean, Henderson and kind of after things came apart for her on the Friday, she was teeing off early, and she still had just a mass of people following around. You could sit down for a while and just wait for the crowd to come up, and you had a good idea who was teeing off.
All right, Steve. Thanks as always for joining us. It's great to have
Thank you.
Folks, as always, provincesports.com/radio. All our podcasts are there. You can check us out on iTunes. You can look for us on Stitcher. You can look for us on LinkedIn. Not on LinkedIn. On TuneIn.
Well, you can look for us on LinkedIn. I don't know if you'll find us.
You'll find me. I don't know if I'll find you, but
I do. I too am on LinkedIn.
There you go. Steve,
a valuable tool.
You have a great time out there.
And I will do my best.
And we'll see you again next week.
Thanks a lot.